Well, there we are. What a tremendous performance indeed from Peters and Lee, Tony.
I'm back. Yes, welcome home. That record, number 2 best-selling record of the year.
And I tell you what, I think it's about time we went back to the news again. Let's this time take a look at September 1973.
Now here's the news for September 1973. Two men were trapped on the 2nd of September for 76 hours in the miniature submarine Pisces III, and they were rescued. Dr. Henry Kissinger succeeded Mr. W. Rogers as United States Secretary of State. In Belgrade, David Wilkie broke the world record in the 200 metres breaststroke in 2 minutes, 19.28 seconds. In Chile, President Allende committed suicide when the army took over. There were reports that 2,000 people were killed. South African police killed 12 African miners during a riot. Israel and Syria were engaged in a large-scale air battle. Mr. Heath arrived in the Irish Republic on the first official visit of a Prime Minister since 1922. 5 people were injured when a bomb exploded at Chelsea Barracks on the 28th of September. One at West London Air Terminal injured 8 people. 3 Soviet Jews were freed by Arab gunmen at Vienna Airport after the Austrian government had agreed to close the refugee transit camp. And that was the news for September 1973.
And there we are, yet again, a John Forrest report there from September 1973. Well, now the time is exactly 12:30, and it's over to the news of today. And to read the news for us, and he's kindly agreed to join us in the studio and do it really live from our very own studio, as it's the first bulletin of the year. Here is Ken Guy with the LBC News.
First the headlines. Libya has raised the posted price for crude oil to more than $18 a barrel from tomorrow. This is the highest price ever known on world markets. Nigeria has also announced a price rise for her oil from $8 to $14 a barrel. First returns in the Israeli general election indicate that Prime Minister Golda Meir's Labour coalition vote is slightly down on 1969 figures, while support for the opposition Likud parties is up. The Marks and Spencer president, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress in the Middlesex Hospital, but he's still in the intensive care unit. Meanwhile, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for shooting Mr. Seif. The TUC General Secretary, Mr. Len Murray, has called on the government to get Britain moving again. In his New Year's speech criticising the three-day week, he said the government's attitude was stopping the wheels of our factories turning. In Belfast, police have released the name of a soldier shot and killed this afternoon. He was 23-year-old Alan Doughty of the 2nd Battalion Scots Guards. He was the 250th person killed in Northern Ireland in 1973. And Britain's third commercial radio station, Radio Clyde, went on the air at 10:30 last night. Broadcasting from the new station started with the jingle, followed by a prayer by the Reverend Andrew Herron, the former moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. Now the local London news. In Belgrade, an appeal has been made against the 4-year prison sentences imposed on 2 London plane spotters earlier this year. Well, that should be last year. From Belgrade, here's Roy Gutman with the details.
As Yugoslavs celebrate the new year with 2 days of revelry, 2 young Londoners in a Sarajevo prison cell are putting their hopes in an appeal against their 4-year sentences. Paul Mason of Twickenham and Robert Curtis of Mortlake, both plane spotters, were found guilty by a Sarajevo military court of espionage. They have now launched their appeal. Possibly they did uncover some classified military information, but nothing in their trial 4 weeks ago proved that they were doing this for a foreign organization, it said. Their attorney, who prepared the appeal, said it might take up to 6 weeks before it is heard, and this could be in a closed session. And even if it fails, there is always the hope of a pardon by Yugoslav President Tito. For LBC, this is Roy Gutman of Reuters in Belgrade.
There was little further news on the future of the Centrepoint block tonight, following the annual meeting of Mr. Harry Hyam's company, Oldham Estate in London. Our economics correspondent says that shareholders got little joy in their anxiety to find out more about the company's future, particularly in view of the new government budget measures designed to curb property speculation. Even questions about the intriguing investments in Belgium believed to run into millions, were parried with the usual Hyams panache. The Camden School for Girls in northwest London has launched an appeal for £200 to pay for the cost of repairing their school assembly hall, which was damaged when the roof collapsed in June. The school's insurance did not cover the roof collapse. The school is putting on concerts, jumble sales, to try to raise the money. A Labour councillor has resigned as acting agent for the prospective Labour candidate for Hornchurch in Essex because he disagrees with the candidate's views. The councillor, Jack Hoppleman, resigned because he believes the candidate, Alan Williams, is too moderate and won't, as he put it, make a fighting politician. Mike Stewart asked him to explain the reasons for his resignation.
I disagree with him, I think, on industrial relations, on nationalisation, on NATO, the strengthening of ties with the United States, you name it, and I think that's just about, you know, and then there might be some minor ones.
What do you expect to achieve by your resignation? It's just a personal resignation?
For me, yeah. You know, one can only... I think in politics the most important thing is personal integrity. And I would be doing myself an injustice, I think, if I helped to get him elected, because I just don't agree with what he's, you know, what he's saying. And I think there are other more... how can I say... candidates that I would sooner see elected, and I would go and work as hard as possible for one of those.
A London firm has just printed 2,000 Union Jack stickers with the slogan "Fly the Flag for Britain" and rushed them to a Torquay garage owner for free distribution to his customers. Michael Ollie, chairman of the Olro Group at South Woodford, read in the press about the garage owner's problem finding stickers. The garage owner, Mr. Colin Edward, wanted to distribute the stickers as a gesture of defiance to those people who knock Britain. Mr. Ollie thought it was a good idea and pulled out all the stops to have the stickers printed and on their way to Torquay by yesterday afternoon. And that's it for this bulletin. Our next news, international and national news at 1, local news again at 1:30.
And many thanks indeed, Ken Guy there, for the first news of 1974. The time now is 24 and a half minutes before 1 o'clock. It's a brand new year, as I said, 1974. In the studios here at LBC, it's the Fox Francis Show, seeing a brand new year in. And perhaps we could ask Ken to stay with us just for a time.
I certainly hope so.
Let's find out all about news reading, Ken. Does it ever depress you reading sad stories? Because we do have a lot of sad stories in the news.
No, I think, I suppose the main stories are always a little bit on the sad side, but I think if you tend to look for stories which have a little bit of a silver lining or with a little bit of humour to them or something like that, it's a very good idea, I think, in a lot of news bulletins to put these stories in, say, as an end story, something with a little twist.
Just to brighten it up.
Just to sort of brighten it up and brighten it up at the end. Ken, where did it all start with you?
For me, 1957 it started for me.
Mm-hmm.
In a place called Sale.
You're letting out your secrets here, Ken.
Oh, yes. Sale is a city in the Gippsland area of Victoria, and it's about 133 miles east of Melbourne.
That's out back, isn't it?
No, it's not really. It's a very rich agricultural area.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wrong again.
If you're talking about outback...
So shut up, Tony.
If you're talking about outback, of course, you're talking about the far west of New South Wales and the far north of South Australia.
Well, outback to me is anything south
down
of
in the southwestern corner
really.
Of Queensland. That's the outback.
Yeah?
I tell you what... Ken, one of the questions that I'm always asked is, how do we actually get the news to broadcast? Where does it actually come from?
Well, we have several agencies supplying news here. Every organisation, of course, makes its own arrangements, and this particular company here, LBC, we have teleprinters supplying news from United Press International, from... what's the other one I'm trying to think of? Reuters. Yes, Reuters. And we have a couple of other agencies as well.
Mm.
There's Universal News and the Press Association, of course.
Mm.
These people not only supply teleprinter news, but they also supply the audio, what we call audio pieces.
And
we tend
to liaise all this news, do we?
Yes, well, we have regular times of the day where these feeds are sent through to us, particularly the audio feeds. And we can ask, say, Reuters, we can ask them for a piece from their man in Tel Aviv about the Israeli elections, which have just concluded about 2 hours, 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
They will make arrangements on our behalf to have the fellow in Tel Aviv get this stuff together.
Tell me, Ken, there's sort of half an hour between each news bulletin. What do you do between those times?
Personally speaking, I do quite a bit of writing, and quite a few of the stories that I read I've written myself from the cables that come in, teleprinted, and also there are the headlines which have to be compiled.
Mm.
I write those as well.
So it's certainly not feet up in front of the telly for that half-hour break.
Not exactly, no.
It's a busy life indeed. Ken, thank you very much indeed for staying on and talking to us, and will you be giving us the 1 o'clock bulletin?
I'll be here until 6 a.m.
Good heavens, it is a hard life indeed. Thank you very much indeed.
I've got a can of Australian beer.
Now, there's a story behind that as well, isn't it? Because that you were telling me that isn't your own beer, because that is a can of Swan Lager.
Yeah, this is West Australian beer, of course, and I come from Queensland. Not originally, I'm originally from Melbourne, but last 7 or 8 years I've been in Brisbane, and the Brisbane beer is 4X. And,
4X.
You can get it in London,
yeah,
but only in certain areas.
Is it true
that
Australians don't think
tonight.
Much of English beer?
I was asked this the other night. Adrian asked me this because he had an Australian called in from, I suspect, from Kangaroo Valley. Court, and he was going on about the British beer and how bad it was. So Adrian said to me during one of his breaks, "What do you think of British beer?" And I said, "Well, I drink lager, because I'm used to a light beer. But I find it quite all right. There's no bad beer, there's just some better than others."
Oh, said with feeling, Mr. Guy. Thank you very much indeed. We'll be seeing you at 1 o'clock for the 1 o'clock news. The time now, 20 minutes before one. I think it's about time we took a look, Tony, at the sport of 1973.
Why not? There's been a lot of great sporting achievements.
There certainly has. You've mentioned, of course, the England-Poland match. I mentioned George Best and Colin Milburn, both making comebacks. But here is our very own Steve Tung from our sports department, who's going to take a look at the sport of 1973.
1973 was the year when, with or without power crises, rail crises and petrol crises, the English football world finally accepted that it was in a bad way. It took an unlikely result, the 1-1 draw with Poland in October, which put us out of the World Cup, and an unlikely figure, the Polish goalkeeper Tomasz Szewski, to spark off the real soul-bearing and conscience-searching. But with floodlights banned, 2 o'clock kickoffs and 12 o'clock lunches every Saturday, and crowds diving as dramatically as Manchester City forwards in the penalty area, even the Football Association came to realise that something was up. Having won some friends by appointing a new secretary, Ted Croker, who'd actually played the game at professional level, they now lost them all again by setting up a committee to investigate the state of football, whose total age just about matched one weekend's attendance figures. Managers got more than their share of the limelight. The Charlton brothers, bless them, walked straight into second division jobs and made a rare go of it. In March, Malcolm Allison came back to the bright lights of London. Crystal Palace have won precisely 4 league games in the ensuing 9 months. And fellow star of stage and screen, Brian Clough, reluctantly walked out on Derby County to enjoy a similar lack of success to Allison on the south coast. At least Palace knew that they weren't the only London club to struggle. Arsenal, runners-up and cup semi-finalists last season, West Ham, who'd been sixth, and Spurs, eighth, have just raced each other to the bottom since August. West Ham won by a short head. And when the two North London clubs had crowds of 13,000 and 14,000 in successive weeks, the Guinness Book of Record boys must have considered creating a new category in their sports section. There were some bright spots. Georgie Porgy Puddingham Best came back to make the girls cry. though in the present climate and Manchester United's present position, no one could have blamed him if he'd stayed away. Sunderland reassured those of us who believe in fairies by winning the cup. The new Snow White Leeds United apparently decided that that Wembley trauma would be their last defeat for all time. And just so that London fans didn't all throw themselves into the Thames, Queen's Park Rangers and Orient won games and influenced people in the best possible way. Of the other major sports, boxing, tennis and cricket were all undergoing some critical examination too. Boxing above all. Henry Cooper predicted earlier in the year that the sport would be dead within 10 years. And as we lurched from one overpriced and overpublicised heavyweight farce to another, that seemed a generous estimate. Jack Bodell might be a thing of the past, but there was still poor Joe Bugner pitted against rotund foreigners who stood still and let him hit them, at no great danger to themselves. There was George Foreman fooling the world by beating Joe Frazier, the big ugly bear Mark II, to take the world title. And Ali, the king, the man who might have saved the show, having his lip buttoned and his jaw broken by one Ken Norton. Wimbledon went off so sweetly that you could have been forgiven for not noticing that most of the world's leading players weren't there. The Association of Tennis Professionals boycotted the tournament in support of Yugoslavian Niki Pilic. Roger Taylor and a few other second division stars blacklegged their union, won the undying affection of the tennis public. Last month, in anticipation of the troubles in 74 perhaps, the All England Club announced a 50% increase in prize money. Yet further problems seem certain if the revolutionary Team Tennis League gets off the ground and participants are banned from Wimbledon. Cricket's problems were on-field rather than off. The West Indies came over here with a record about as frightening as Crystal Palace's and beat England out of sight. Whoever the culprits were, the wise men of Lords took the captaincy away from Ray Illingworth and gave it to the least likely candidate, Kent's Mike Dennis, a Scotsman for heaven's sake, and dropped John Snow like a hot bouncer. It'll be a surprise if the West Indies don't provide all the poetry in the forthcoming Caribbean tour.
The inimitable Steve Tongue from the LBC Sports Department and a roundup of the 1973 year of sport. How about that? A lot of memories for you, Stuart. You're quite a sports fanatic.
Oh, I am indeed.
The only sports thing I can remember was my one run scored with the Showbiz cricket team this year.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still in this performance, am I? Yes,
that's it.
I can remember your one run, actually.
Can we have a quick?
It's the only one I can remember.
Let's have a quick little count up because I think we're heading for a record at the minute with two bottles of champagne, a bottle of red wine down, and a bottle of vermouth as well.
We're seeing the new year in style here at London Broadcasting. Actually, I think we ought to just wind up our sort of news summaries for 1973. Shall we hear from the news of which month is it now, Tony?
I've forgotten. Let's find out from John Forrest.
Now here's the news for October 1973. On the 6th of October, simultaneous attacks against Israel were made by Egyptian forces across the Suez Canal and by Syrian forces on the Golan Heights. On the 13th, Jordan entered the war against Israel. On the 14th, Saudi Arabia. And on the 16th, Israeli tanks crossed the canal. On the 22nd, Israel, Egypt and Jordan accepted a United Nations proposal for a ceasefire. Syria accepted, but Iraq and guerrillas rejected the proposal. Fighting continued with claims and counterclaims of violations. On November the 11th, Israeli and Egyptian generals signed the Kissinger Agreement at kilometre 101 on the Suez-Cairo Road.
And there we are. The main news, of course, from October 1973, was the Middle East War, and that kept us very much on our toes here at London Broadcasting in our first month. It's 13 minutes to 1 o'clock. How about a quick calculation, Tony?
47 minutes into the new year.
You did that without moving your lips.
Amazing stuff. Let's still keep taking our nostalgic look back on our New Year's Eve spectacular, shall we? Should we go to another film?
A film?
Why not?
Why not?
We've already featured one film, and that was
Live and
Let
Die. In a minute, I'm going to say no.
I'm going to take a look back actually at one of my favourite films of the year, and that was the film Cabaret, featuring the very lovely Liza Minnelli.
Do you know that I only managed to get to see one film this year?
What was that?
And that was the Walt Disney film.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
It reminds me
of the old joke, actually. Have you heard the old joke?
Tell me the old joke.
The old joke. Hang on, I've got it written down here. Do you know the difference between Frank Sinatra and Walt Disney, said a Scotsman?
Tell me.
Well, Frank Sinatra sings and Walt Disney.
I don't believe it, I really don't. I thought you were a dark brown little bloke. No, I thought you were a bloke who sits in the back of a cinema in a dark brown Mac with naughty sunglasses on. You don't actually go and see Walt Disney films, do you?
You're tarnishing my reputation, Tony.
Why?
I'm a Snow White man.
I'm not
going
to say it, but why not?
I'm a Snow White man. I tell you what, you were talking about films.
I was talking about my favourite film of the year.
Half an hour.
Definitely ago. A film not to be knocked, a film that won several Oscars this year. Liza Minnelli, Joel Dade, and right now we're going to listen to the title track. It's called Cabaret.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. It's time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum, come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, come hear the band, come blow your horn, start celebrating.
Well, there we are. That was the sound of what?
Short snippet from Cabaret, wasn't it? A very short snippet, and I'll tell you for why, because we've got quite a lot to fit in before the end of the programme, which is only 11 minutes and 20 seconds away.
11 minutes, 20 seconds to go on the Stuart Francis Tony Fox show. It's now 15 seconds and 10 minutes to go before 1 o'clock and the end of the Tony Fox Stuart Francis show. We're back with the news again, Tony. We really do have to race through here.
We do. We've got
it's a
two
shame.
Months,
I'm enjoying this conversation.
We've just
so
done
much.
October. We're going to move along to November any second now.
What are you doing after the programme?
November. That's my favourite month, actually. November is the month of the great festivities, as far as I'm concerned, because that's the date that I celebrate my birthday, you see.
Really?
Yes.
What was that, a hint for next year? Let's hear the news from November.
Now here's the news for November 1973. The Electrical Power Engineers Association imposed a ban on out-of-hours work. Sunday driving was banned in the Netherlands and in Belgium on the 18th of November, in Italy on December the 2nd. In Washington, Congress defeated President Nixon's veto on a bill limiting his power to wage war. President Nixon announced fuel emergency plans. By-election results. Mrs. M. MacDonald, of the Scottish Nationalist Party, won Glasgow Govan from Labour. Conservatives retained Edinburgh and Hove. Liberals won Berwick-upon-Tweed from Conservatives.
And there he is, John Forrest, our man who was giving us reports live from Trafalgar Square a little bit earlier on, with, of course, the roundup of the news from November, which is only last month. So we kept it short and sweet because everybody's bound to remember it.
I think, actually, what we ought to do, and that's a quick mention, that after the 1 o'clock news being read for you tonight, or this morning by Ken Guy, we'll be going over to Nightline, and Dennis Rookard has got a shortened programme tonight, but a very interesting one, because after 1 o'clock he's not only going to be going back up to Radio Clyde to find out what's going on up there, but also to go back to Capital Radio's
back
party.
Back up to Scotland. You know what they say, the best thing that came out of Scotland was the road to England.
Oh, well, that's going to win us a lot of friends, that is. Thank you very much indeed. It's now 8 minutes before 1 o'clock. We've got the Pipe Band out there at the moment who are going to come in and cart Tony Fox off, I think. But let's have another musical memory, shall we, Tony?
Why not?
Let's remember a good
pop song. I said it again,
song.
Didn't I? Yes.
1973 was a year where, once again, they took a tune from a television commercial. And because of the catchiness of the music, it turned into a hit record.
This was your favourite song of the year, wasn't it?
It wasn't, actually, but it was one I liked very much. It wasn't my absolute favourite. My absolute favourite isn't in this programme.
Stuart, I'll let you cue this one in entirely. You're on your own.
Well, here we go, folks. This is the sound of White Plains and a thing called Step Into a Dream. The sound of White Plains with a happy little song that was a reasonable size hit in 1973, and that was White Plains and a thing called Step Into a Dream. One thing that we have forgotten, Tony.
Oh, I don't know. Tell me.
You've forgotten as well. I only told you about 30 seconds ago.
How about New Year's resolutions?
Pardon?
New Year's resolutions.
Say that walking down a straight line.
What's your New Year's resolution, Stuart?
No, I'll ask you first. What's your New Year's resolution? I have to have
I think
to
the rate
think.
Of this programme is going to stop doing broadcasts with Stuart Francis.
That's quite a true one. My New Year's resolution is still to be in a job in the morning, actually, I think. But anyway, that's enough of New Year's resolutions. They're made to be broken, I tell you. All sorts of interesting people are sort of wandering in from all over the place. Mr. Michael Smith Esquire, who will be presenting a special programme tomorrow afternoon and nicking one hour off my at-home programme tomorrow, will be here presenting a special bank holiday edition of Sport on Tuesday. Absolutely this right. He can even think straight.
He can do, can't he? He won't come into the studio though, will he?
He's looking.
Mike, into the studio just for a second, very quickly, because we're running out of time.
Actually, he's looking well for a man just back from Manchester.
Mike, tell us what's your New Year's resolution, Mike?
Any New Year's resolution?
I resolve to try and ignore Ian Marshall and hope he'll go away.
Thank you very much indeed, Mike Smith.
Are you Ian, if you're listening?
Okay, let's go on to our next record. No, not our next record. We're going to have another look at the news now. This time it's December 1974.
Now here's the news for December 1973. Among government measures to conserve fuel were a 50 mile per hour speed limit and a 63 degree Fahrenheit temperature limit in offices. At Sotheby's, £340,000 was paid for Picasso's Pharmacies, a record for a 20th century painting. The rail drivers' union ASLEF began a ban on overtime and Sunday working on the 12th of December. On the 13th, more government measures to conserve fuel, a 3-day working week from December the 31st, television hours shortened, continuous process users limited to 65% of normal electricity consumption.
And I think even the newsreaders had a couple. Never mind, John Forrest that time. And there it is. That's, of course, the roundup of the news for 1973.
I said it was
1974.
Yes, I said it was the news from 1974. Well, we're ahead of the times here on London Broadcasting. We've got to be quick. What's the last record, Tony?
What's the last record? Well, if I can just read my cue sheet, and I can only just do that, it says something like Neil Sedaka, and that's when the music takes me. How about that? That's when the music comes. Music takes me. Another one we can put on our comeback list, isn't
Say
it?
Say that really? Walking down that straight line once comeback. Again.
Neil Sedaka, been on the cards since, what, about 1957? Would I be right? About 1957 he's been making hit records.
1957. Yes, I would imagine. That's when the music takes me. Another big hit from 1973. I think that's more or less just about all the time we've got left. Tony.
I think you're right, actually. A little glance at the clock reveals that we're around about 12.50 something something something.
Yes, we are indeed. just about. In fact, we're 1 minute away from the hour of 1 o'clock. Very shortly, we'll be going over to Dennis Rickard. That's after the 1 o'clock news. But all I can say is that I hope everybody enjoyed our New Year's Eve programme.
Our thanks too.
To our studio audience.
Inebriated, but they're still here.
They're still standing.
Which means there's hopes for listeners yet.
Even if they are propped against the wall. Tony, that is just about it. And so perhaps we could once again wish all our listeners a very, very happy New Year.
Can I leave the listeners with two forts, three gun turrets, five battlements, six cannons?
He's still at it. He's still at it. It's amazing. He never stops. I tell you what, we're rapidly approaching the 1 o'clock news. This has been the Fox Francis Show over New Year's Eve. Once again, we wish you a very happy New Year. And once again, it's time for us to go up to the 1 o'clock news. This is London Broadcasting 417 97.3.
Good night.
This is the London Broadcasting Company, LBC, the independent voice of radio news.
It's 1 o'clock and this is Ken Guy with LBC News. Libya has raised the posted price for crude oil to more than $18 a barrel from tomorrow. That's the highest price ever known on world markets. The announcement was made over Tripoli radio only hours after Nigeria said it was raising its price from $8 to more than $14. The increases are the latest in a series of increases announced by producer nations in the past week. First early returns in the Israeli general election indicate that Premier Golda Meir's Labour coalition vote is slightly down on 1969 figures, while support for the right-wing Likud party is up. Unofficial results from 66 of the 5,000 polling stations show Labour taking 61% of the vote, compared with 62.3% 4 years ago. Likud, which political observers say has the best chance in the history of Israel of toppling Labour, has taken 16.16% so far, compared with 11.5% in the last election. And here's a story just to hand. The Israeli election, Mrs. Golda Meir's ruling Labour Party, so far appears to be maintaining its lead, but has sustained losses estimated by political experts at about 5%. With less than one-tenth of the ballots counted, Labour looks likely to have some 50 seats in the new parliament, compared with 56. Labour's chief opposition, the right-wing Likud coalition, showed initial gains and will most likely end up with 37 or 38 seats, compared with 32 in the last legislature, according to political observers. The president of Marks and Spencer, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress, but he's still in the intensive care unit of the Middlesex Hospital. Earlier, the hospital had said that he'd made better progress than expected. Meanwhile, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for the shooting of Mr. Seif. Stephen Somerville in Beirut has the details.
Responsibility for the shooting of Mr. Seif has been claimed by one of the most extreme of the Palestinian commando groups, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, led by Dr. George Habash, a dedicated Marxist. A statement issued here in the Lebanese capital accused the Jewish businessman of being a leader of the Zionist movement, which it said has committed and is still committing crimes and massacres against our Palestinian people. The front described Mr. Seif as one of the biggest financial contributors to the State of Israel and said that he had worked hard to establish its aggressive foundations. The statement, which mistakenly referred to Mr. Seif as Lord Seif throughout, was issued by the front's Beirut office after a spokesman had several times telephoned to news agencies asking for latest information about Mr. Seif's condition. Stephen Somerville, Reuters, Beirut.
It's feared the shooting could be the start of a series of attacks on prominent Jews in Britain. The founder of the Tesco store chain, Sir Jack Cohen, said today he'd been warned of the existence of a death list. In his televised New Year's message, the Soviet Communist Party Secretary, Mr. Brezhnev, has been talking about the success of 1973 for Russia. Referring to a crop of setbacks in 1972, he said the beginning of the year hadn't been easy, but industrial production targets had been exceeded. He said international détente had improved and specifically mentioned agreements with the United States, but he warned that aggressive forces, which he didn't specifically identify, were trying to sabotage détente. He added, it goes without saying that we'll have to take care to strengthen our country's defences. The TUC's General Secretary, Mr. Len Murray, today called on the government to get Britain moving again. In his New Year speech, criticising the three-day week just introduced, he said the government's attitude was stopping the wheels of our factories turning. The Coal Board and the Miners' Union, he said, should be free to reach their own settlement. Meanwhile, 35,000 Nottingham miners today made it clear they rejected the Yorkshire miners' call for a strike. Lose your patience and you lose your cause was the rallying call from their branch chairman. And according to the Employment Department, there are now 640,000 workers laid off in England and Wales as a result of the coal shortage at generating stations. But in the face of hard-hit Britain comes news of a contract signed yesterday between the Coal Board, Gulf Oil and a North Sea Oil Consortium for fresh drilling east of the Shetland Isles. Thousands of people crammed into Trafalgar Square to see the new year in the traditional manner. The petrol crises had put no dampener on the occasion, and the police estimated that the crowd was considerably larger than last year. Ambulance men said just before midnight that 12 people had been taken to hospital, but their condition wasn't serious. Well, that's the news. Our next bulletin of local London news at 1:30, international and national news again at 2 o'clock.
And on this broad black moon neck the new in London, it's Dennis Rickard with Nightline. Well, I must say, having spent some time behind the glass panel, it's all happening tonight, and here they come. Let's just hold it on, because there's a noise outside which you Scotsmen in London are going to love. Gentlemen, come right in on this New Year's morning. Thank you. Marvellous, marvellous. I wonder if our microphones are still working after that. Just a few of the members of the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band, and they were just playing Scotland the Brave for all you Scotsmen in London. It's going to be a very special nightline tonight. First of all, we're going back again to Radio Clyde because we feel that all you expatriate Scotsmen down here in the big windy city ought to go first footing by telephone. And you know what it's like trying to phone back at night over the STD network. It costs you all of 4 shillings for every 3 minutes you talk. Well, here it's going to cost you tuppence, because if you'd like to call us on 353-8111, you'll have to hang on for a few minutes, but we'll be taking back to Clyde, Radio Clyde, your first footing messages. So if you want to contact your members of your family in Glasgow and the surrounding area, then call us on 353-8111. We'll also be going across the capital, across to the Albert Hall, and we'll be joining their festivities over there. So it's going to be a three-way split, because at 1:10, in about 2 minutes' time, all three stations will be linking up. So how about that for Christmas? That's Capital Radio, our colleagues over at Euston Tower, and a Happy New Year to you lads over there, and also to Radio Clyde. And we'll be taking more music from the members of the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band. And I've just heard, in fact, we've got music coming over, so let's go straight into our three-way link.
And that was Ian Powdy and his band and the Duke of Perth. And at this point in time, which is 1:08 on New Year's Day, we're going to go over and join some of our friends down there in London at London Broadcasting.
And a very good morning to you, Tony Curry. This is Dennis Rickard at London Broadcasting. Good morning to you.
Oh, a very good morning to you, Dennis. Dennis,
It's nice to hear you, Tony.
Dennis happens to be a very old friend of mine, so can I wish you a very happy new year, Dennis?
Yeah, Tony, shall we tell him about the Mafia, mate?
Yes.
Well, you know, we've often plugged it down here at LBC about a little thing called hospital radio, which I seem to be over keen on.
Yes.
And it just so happens that up at Clyde, Tony Curry is also into hospital radio.
Yes, I am indeed.
How's things up in the Glasgow area, Tony?
Well, things in general are very nice. It's Hogmanay and we're all enjoying ourselves and listening to Radio Clyde and eating apples.
Tony, we have our weather forecast at about this time every night. And very quickly before we join Capital, because we're going to go across to the Albert Hall, a quick look at the weather forecast.
Would you like to have a wee quick look at your weather forecast, Dennis?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. And LBC.
Ha ha!
Okay, Dennis, let's have the weather.
I'm sure they're drunk down at the Meteorological Centre because it's 36 degrees Fahrenheit in London town. 2 degrees centigrade. Get away from that on the 1st of February. On the 1st of January 1974, clear is the weather, humidity 87%. Barometric pressure 30.39 inches with a tendency to keep on falling this New Year's evening. And the wind speed 3 miles an hour showing from the east, and it's clear. It's 1:10, Tony. I believe I've got the word. We're standing by to go across the capital. Can my engineers wave at me? Can we go across now?
I hope so.
Oh, they're not ready yet.
Are they not ready? Oh, well, let's...
think they're playing music. I'll have the word in my headset, but in about 30 seconds, Tony...
Having a wee quick cough up here, you see. I haven't been allowed to cough for hours.
Go on, have a quick cough. What's it like on your first night?
Oh,
on the
great.
Talking wireless.
Great. It's very nice indeed.
Tell your listeners, incidentally, that after Capital have had their say, we're going to be bringing you the sound of expatriate Scotsmen in London calling you with first footing messages by telephone.
Yes,
and
I will.
If they're listening
them.
In London, it's on 01353-8111. That's the number to call if you want to say hello to Glasgow, and we'll be taking you in about half an hour's time. So start calling and queue yourselves in.
But please don't call Radio Clyde, because our switchboard is absolutely jam-packed.
This is the state we find ourselves in. Are we ready to go across the capital, I ask myself?
I hope
not
so.
Not yet. We'll keep talking.
Capital actually seem to be keeping us a little bit waiting tonight. But while just before they reach us, can I ask you, Dennis, this is probably your first Christmas on the air, as it is mine,
right,
and your first New Year. What does it feel like down there at Hogmanay? Because it's, you know, it's different down there. It's not the same up.
Well, we were across at Trafalgar Square earlier on, and it's completely packed there, as it always is at this time of year.
What do they do?
Throw people into the pools over there, into the fountains. They dance around, everybody joins hands and sings Auld Lang Syne. Tell you what, I've got a whole set of pipers here from the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band.
Good heavens.
And I'm going to have a... Gentlemen, can we have a quick burst for about 1 minute flat? Okay,
well,
they're pumping up the bagpipes.
Tony?
Hello.
Hello, Tony Curry.
Hello, Capital Radio.
How does Radio Clyde feel, Tony?
Radio Clyde feels great, and it's very nice to be with you. Who am I talking
You're talking to Sarah Ward, actually.
Oh, hello, Sarah.
In
nice.
London. And nice I'm at the Royal Albert Hall at the moment.
Are you? What's going on there?
We've been having a magnificent time celebrating the New Year.
I'm sure you
dancing have. Away and with a fancy dress parade as well. But listen, Tony, Radio Clyde went on the air in the early hours of this morning. Or yesterday morning, did it?
Not the early hours. We went on the air at 10:30. Quite a civilised hour.
You did. Was it all very calm and...
Well, as calm as can be expected. We had one or two little problems, but nothing too bad.
I think we really feel for you, because we know how it felt when we first went on the air here in London with Capital Radio. But what sort of things are you doing for the new year, Tony?
At the moment, I'm trying to play some very good music, and we're not doing too bad a job with that. We've had some phone links, and we're going to hopefully later on in the morning have some more phone links with Scots Abroad. And we're keeping things going up here and playing lots of records.
Oh, that's terrific. Listen, I was just saying a few moments ago that I'm always hearing about the dark-haired man bringing in a piece of coal in Scotland and kissing the lady of the house. God. Is this really true? Does that still happen up there?
Sarah, what? Do you not know about that? It's called first footing.
Oh, first footing. Of course it's called
and,
first footing.
And yes, well, it's traditional that in Scotland, the first visitor after the bells strike midnight has to come across the threshold right foot first and hand over three gifts, something to eat, something to burn, and something to drink.
Yeah.
He has to be tall, dark, and handsome.
And that all still happens, Tony?
It happens in every household in Scotland.
You're not running out of tall, dark, handsome men, are you, by any chance? Would you send them down south if you are?
Listen, darling, we've got millions of them up here. Millions.
Sarah, this is Dennis Rickard at LBC. Can I also pass on our very best wishes to you
for
this
yes,
1974? Let it be a marvellous year for all of us here on commercial radio.
Indeed. What have you been doing to celebrate the New Year
at
LBC?
We've had our LBC party. Stuart Francis and Tony Fox have been splitting the bottles. We've got a bottle of champagne. I wonder if we can open it on the air for you.
Try.
Go on, try.
Let's open the bottle of champagne.
There's some music there, but I can't...
It good. Opened, did
we're
it?
Just, we're just going to open it, Jess. Here
oh,
we go.
Come on.
Wait for it. Here we go. Here we go again. Just opening this bottle of marvellous champagne here at a Gough Square.
You're making me thirsty, Dennis. I've been drinking water all night.
Dennis, I wish we could have a glass of that champagne. Actually, I've got one beside me, so I shouldn't grumble.
It's not just fair.
Here we go.
You're obviously having a very good time at LBC.
That's it.
Wow.
And LBC have opened their bottle, and may I say to you both a happy new 261.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much indeed, LBC.
Marvellous.
Dennis, bye-bye to you. And Tony, are you still there, I wonder?
Yes, I'm still
you
here.
You are still there.
And I'm just trying, Sarah, to wish you a very happy...
Happy New 261.
New 261.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much indeed, Tony. We really are thinking of you up in Scotland, Radio Clyde. We wish you all the very, very best for 1974 and hope we'll all meet up somewhere sometime.
I hope we shall, my love. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Tony.
And Sarah Ward, have a very happy new year down at the Albert Hall.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
Okay.
Curry.
Bye. Bye-bye to
and
you.
And back at the Royal Albert Hall.
Bye-bye,
Dave
Sarah.
And
thank you very much, Sarah. Dennis, we'll be coming back to both of you in a very few moments.
Oh.
Radio Clyde.
Okay, let's... That's commercial break for Radio Clyde there, and we'll go back to them in a few moments. But we've got our gentleman here in the studio, drinking champagne. And you told me, gentlemen, that before you went to... Let's have to give you a microphone to talk, because I'm going to talk to one of you now. The spokesman. It's... what's the name?
My name is Jim Gardner.
Hmm?
Jim Gardner.
Jim Gardner. Jim, you're on Channel 1. Just, I've got to say that for the benefit of poor old Heather, who's working very hard on the other side of the control panel. Can I also, by the way, say very special hi and hello there to Heather and to Paul, who are our marvellous engineers, of course, with Di Latham, who's going to be my producer tonight. We've been left some food tonight. That's very nice, Ward. So we'll be tacking into that in the early morning. No bacon sandwich tonight. I think we've got chicken legs tonight, haven't we? Yes, it looks nice out there. Jim, tell me something about the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band, because you're from London.
Yes, that's right. I've been down here a number of years now. But the part is that we started up in the pipe band, me and Mr. McBride, who is an ex-piper from the Argyll and Southern Highlanders. And well, it's going well. It's going great guns, and, you know, we want to go a long way with it.
Mm. Sounds very nice indeed. Yeah. I'm surprised because one of the members behind here spoke with a broad London accent. Surely, you know, wearing a kilt, you can't be Scots.
You have to be Scots to play the instrument.
Have to be Scots to play the instrument. You're Scots by heritage, perhaps?
By descent, yeah.
By descent. Because you've been here since 11:30, haven't you?
Yes, I've been here a long time.
That sounds fun. Tell you what, get in front, get your things piped. Hey, I've always wanted to play a bagpipe. Can you I wonder if it's possible to have a quick blow?
Yes,
let's have a quick blow. Dennis is going to do something he's never done before, actually blow a bagpipe. I know Tony Fox did this some time ago. If we can bring it round here, I don't know how the microphone's going to like it, because apparently microphones don't like bagpipes, so I've been informed reliably. What have I got to do? I've got
to see if you can climb into it.
I've got to climb into it. Put my hand. My God.
Tuck that under the arm.
That's enough. We'll
hold these up.
Yeah. Okay. What have I got to hold?
Just hold the
charm. Oh, this is a charm. This is a long dangling thing at the bottom, is it? Okay, here we go.
You just get blind.
Just give it a pull.
You're in an uncomfortable position sitting down.
Take that up in up your arm.
You blow, and we'll do the squeezing.
Okay, I believe Clyde want to come over to us. I'm going to give you back. Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. I've got to stop there because I've got to play all night in those things. It sounded absolutely diabolical to me. Clyde, in fact, are going to come across to us. So if we've got some calls lined up, yeah. Okay, whenever you like. Yes, let's go straight across to Radio Clyde. Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Tony. I've just been learning to play the bagpipes down here.
I don't believe it.
Come on, I'll show you. Let's have those bagpipes again. I'm definitely going to play it for the second time. This is Dennis's encore, isn't it? I've got to sort of put the long dangly thing down, haven't I? That's all right. Here we go.
Long dangly thing, honestly. You are ignorant, Dennis. You really are. Oh, you're in pain.
Yes, well.
Poor Dennis. Dennis, I'll send you some bicarbonate and soda. Listen, I'll tell you how you sound.
Yeah. Radio Clyde, 261, all together. Stoughton.
All right, just that. This is London Broadcasting, 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock in London Town on 417 metres in the medium wave band.
And this is Radio Clyde on 261 metres in the medium wave
band.
And
don't forget the jolly old stereo, 97.3 stereo.
And don't forget the jolly old stereo, 95.1. Anything you can do, I can do. And we're the only stereo station up here at the moment.
Mm. I'll tell you what we're trying to patch up. We haven't got any calls, but expatriate Scotsman. Tell you what, Tony, if you can return to us at about, 25 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, we'll have lots of Scotsmen all lined up, ready to go first footing back to Radio Clyde.
Yep, okay, Dennis.
Well, I hear you're just pushing a cartridge into the slot up there.
Oh, you're listening.
I can always... It's full quality down here,
you've got big ears, Dennis. Big ears
to match your big tummy.
Hey, well, you see me, laddie, you see me, yes.
No. Okay, we'll come back to you at 1:35, Dennis, with all those phone calls.
I look forward to seeing you, Tony.
Okay, Dennis,
and,
bye.
And on his broad brick moon like neck the new.
Oh, Dennis, good night.
can we leave you, I wonder, with our friends from the... Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band.
Yes,
playing.
You can.
Yes, okay, gentlemen, get your pipes up. They've got to take the headphones off, and they've got to move around to the front of our table here in our small studio. And what are you going to do for us next, gentlemen?
Do the three fours.
Of course, you probably know the trouble yourself with pipes. You've got to pump these things up. I never knew they were so hard to play. I really didn't. It's incredible.
Green Hills, Battlesworth.
Okay, gentlemen.
Green Hills and the Battlesworth.
Yeah. The Green Hills.
And the Battlesworth.
And the Battlesworth. Fair enough, gentlemen. Okay, when you're ready.
One, two.
Thank you.
myself, I prefer the city of Glasgow.
Tony from London, the sound of the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band. Hope you enjoyed it. Well, I think that Tony's left us, and we'll be joining Radio Clyde at about 25 minutes up before the hour of 1 o'clock. And don't forget, if you're Scots and you want to go first footing by telephone, the number to call is 01353 8111. We'll start taking your messages back home to Glasgow at about 25 minutes up before the hour of 1 o'clock. And we'll ask you to keep them fairly short, because perhaps members of your family are listening. Okay, so if you're having a wee dram at the time, as I'm having a wee dram here, there's champagne, there's bottles of the nectar of the north, whiskey, and we're thoroughly enjoying ourselves. But I'm going to talk now to, in fact, one of the other members. It's Pipe Major Thomas McBride.
Yeah.
If you can just speak closer to the microphone. You're from Ayr,
yeah.
And in fact, you're trying to raise money for Dance in March, half of it which is going to charity, and the rest to provide authentic uniforms in the Drummond Tartan, which has been banned. Now, come on, tell us the story behind it.
Well, I couldn't tell you the story. Ask Jim Gardner there, he'd maybe be able to tell you the story.
Okay, Jim Gardner, tell us the story. Why has the Drummond Tartan been banned?
Well, I wouldn't say that it'd been banned, but... and, you know, it goes back a long time. And I think that one of your young ladies might have got the story a bit wrong there. But it hasn't been worn as a body of men, you know, as pipe band, for I think nearly 300 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this, to me, being, you know, a member of the clan and having the honour to wear the tartan, I think is a fantastic thing.
The thing I've always wanted to ask Scotsmen, and I'm sure a lot of our lady listeners will want to ask it tonight, is... oh, yes, yes, God, he does an all too. Yes, he does wear something underneath it, yes. I'm sorry, Heather, you weren't looking, were you? No, Heather wasn't looking, nor was Di. Oh, well, yes, that's proved the fallacy of one statement. But I noticed you've got the spur on the front of the kilt.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, that's not for keeping money in.
Well, you know, that's up to the individual, of course.
How do you feel about these stories about Scots being mean?
Well, they're not. They're very...
How can you be mean if you brought a giant bottle of whiskey in with you tonight?
Well, I didn't. That was, you know, that LBC, you know, made me go out and, you know, sort for it sort of thing. That it was given to me at the door.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's turned out a fantastic evening.
It has. Yeah. Great.
Really groovy.
Tell us about this dance coming up in March.
Well, it's just for the uniforms, you know, sort of thing to try
how
and
much
get
do
a
they cost?
About £130.
Each?
Yes, each man. Mm. Yeah, about £130.
So, in fact, your actual kilt isn't a very cheap...
Well, it's one of the dearest commodities in the world, yes, to buy as an individual dress, yes.
I notice you're keeping up with fashion because it seems to be a mini kilt, doesn't it, really? Would you describe it, gentlemen, as a mini kilt that you have on?
No.
Look. If you were wearing it, you wouldn't say that.
It gets a bit.
Might be mini on you.
I don't know if they'd have enough tartan to go round them, as a matter of fact.
Well, I don't know. I've got a good kilt, mate.
No, it's only going to have a kilt for me, if I tell you.
Well, you can always try. It's a bit windy, of course.
Is there very much popularity in Scottish music at the moment?
Oh, it's fantastic. Fabulous music.
Mm-hmm. Best time it's ever been, I would say.
Well, you just take in one spot in Dunoon every year, and there's over 100 pipe bands there.
Mm-hmm.
That place is a march of 1,000 pipers, and people from all over the world. It's fantastic.
Mm. Pipe bands from all over the world.
Yeah. The music, it's stirring, it stirs your blood, there's something about it.
It's an international instrument, actually.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, you either like the pipe or you
hate them.
Exactly, yeah. I must confess that
there's no in between.
Yeah, there's a certain fascination for the shrill of a pipe band,
This is true.
There are pipe bands all over the British Isles.
But of course, pipe bands aren't common to Scotland. Our Irish friends will tell us about the Irish pipes.
Yes. And so would our friends in Brittany tell us about their pipes, in Belgium.
Who, I wonder, could claim ownership of the pipe as its native instrument? Where did it first stem from?
Well, I wouldn't like to say.
I don't think anyone on the scene would like to say that. But we would like to say one thing, it was the Scots who actually put it to music.
Yeah. Are new pieces being written for the pipe?
Are new pieces?
Oh, yes. Oh, every day.
New music is being composed every day of the week.
Mm.
I'm sure Tom over there has composed many a tune, haven't you, Tom?
I'm Owen Maynard.
He won't put it down on paper, see.
Of course, this we're just coming up to news, but very quickly before we go into news, yeah. We're talking later on, but I don't know, but just talk about our exiled Scots in the South. I mean, this is the one night of the year, it's Scottish night, isn't it?
Well, have you got a warm heart about you? You might go proud on.
I like the way you lean back and say that.
He's got to lean back.
He's got the wall propping him back.
But I must, for a gentleman with his hand on a pair of bagpipes or
set, not a pair,
and wearing the kilt, talking with a broad London accent, how do people regard you?
Well, when you're blowing the pipes,
We don't know no different, do we?
You don't know no different.
in fact, you were telling me earlier on that pipers are born.
Well, either the music's born in you or it's not. Mm. It's as simple as that.
You can't make pipers. Do you agree with that, Tom? You can't.
No, you can't make pipers.
Pipers are born. It's something you've got to have a flair for. If you haven't got it, it's like
you haven't got it. You just haven't got it.
Fair enough. Well, we're coming up to news time. Can I just remind all our exiled Scots who live in the Glasgow area or have families there, 3538111, if you want to pass your first footing type message back. I have my piece of coal on the control panel. I have my whiskey and I've kissed all the girls in the control room, so I feel quite happy about that. 3538111, and at the moment we go to the local news at 1:30. See you after the news, folks.
It's 1:30 and this is Ken Guy with LBC News. First, the headlines. Libya has raised the posted price for crude oil to more than $18 a barrel from today. This is the highest price ever known on world markets. Nigeria has also announced a price rise for her oil from $8 to $14 a barrel. First returns in the Israeli general election indicate that Prime Minister Golda Meir's Labour coalition vote is slightly down on 69 figures, while support for the opposition Likud parties is up. The Marks and Spencer president, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress in the Middlesex Hospital, but he's still in the intensive care unit. Meanwhile, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for shooting Mr. Seif. The TUC General Secretary, Mr. Len Murray, has called on the government to get Britain moving again. In his New Year speech, criticising the three-day working week, he said the government's attitude was stopping the wheels of our factories turning. In Belfast, police have released the name of a soldier shot and killed yesterday afternoon. He was 23-year-old Alan Doughty of the 2nd Battalion Scots Guards. He was the 250th person killed in Northern Ireland in 1973. Now the London news. Thousands of people crammed into Trafalgar Square to see in the new year in the traditional manner. Dozens jumped into the fountains and managed to get wet. despite the fact that they were switched off. The petrol crises had put no dampener on the occasion, and the police estimated that the crowd was considerably larger than last year. Ambulance men said just before midnight that 12 people had been taken to hospital, but their condition wasn't serious. In Belgrade, an appeal has been made against the 4-year prison sentences imposed on 2 young plane spotters earlier last year. From Belgrade, here's Roy Gutman with the details.
As Yugoslavs celebrate the new year with 2 days of revelry, 2 young Londoners in a Sarajevo prison cell are putting their hopes in an appeal against their 4-year sentences. Paul Mason of Twickenham and Robert Curtis of Mortlake, both plane spotters, were found guilty by a Sarajevo military court of espionage. They have now launched their appeal. Possibly they did uncover some classified military information, but nothing in their trial 4 weeks ago proved that they were doing this for a foreign organization, it said. Their attorney, who prepared the appeal, said it might take up to 6 weeks before it is heard, and this could be in a closed session. And even if it fails, there is always the hope of a pardon by Yugoslav President Tito. For LBC, this is Roy Gutman of Reuters in Belgrade.
There was little further news on the future of the Centrepoint block tonight following the annual meeting of Mr. Harry Hyam's company, Oldham Estate in London. Our economics correspondent says shareholders got little joy in their anxiety to find out more about the company's future, particularly in view of the new government budget measures designed to curb property speculation. Even questions about the intriguing investments in Belgium, believed to run into millions, were parried with the usual Hyam's panache. The Camden School for Girls in northwest London has launched an appeal for £200 to pay for the cost of repairing their school assembly hall, which was damaged when the roof collapsed in June. The school's insurance did not cover the roof collapse. The school is putting on concerts, jumble sales, and other affairs to try to raise the money. A Labour councillor has resigned as acting agent for the prospective Labour candidate for Hornchurch in Essex because he disagrees with the candidate's views. Councillor Jack Huppleman resigned because he believes the candidate, Alan Williams, is too moderate and won't, as he put it, make a fighting politician. Michael Stewart asked him to explain the reasons for his resignation.
I disagree with him, I think, on industrial relations, on nationalisation, on NATO, DEC, strengthening of ties with the United States, you name it, and I think that's just about... You know, and then there might be some minor ones.
What do you expect to achieve by your resignation? It's just a personal resignation?
For me, yeah. But, you know, I think in politics, the most important thing is personal integrity. And I would be doing myself an injustice, I think, if I helped to get him elected, because I just don't agree with what he's, you know, what he's saying. And I think there are other more... candidates that I would sooner see elected, and I would go and work as hard as possible for one of those.
A former wartime airfield at Wisley to the southwest of London is to revert to its former use as agricultural land. This follows the decision of the Earl of Lytton to exercise his right as successor to the former owner to repurchase the airfield. Since the war, Wisley Airfield, which is being sold by the Ministry of Defence, has been used for test purposes by the British Aircraft Corporation, which has a factory at nearby Weybridge. Now that's the news. Our next bulletin, international and national news at 2, London news again at 2:30.
And welcome back to Nightline. Dennis Rickard with you through until 6 o'clock this New Year's morning in London. have a quick cough there, you see. I've got the lads all standing around. But before we hear them again, we're hoping to go across to Radio Clyde up there in Glasgow in a few moments to go first footing with some of our Scottish listeners. In fact, one Scottish listener. OK, let's go across to Radio Clyde. Good morning, Tony.
It's going across to LBC. Good morning, Dennis. How
good
are
good
you?
Good morning, lad. The weather still is the same in London. Which is of no interest to you whatsoever.
None whatsoever. What have you got for us, Dennis?
Well, we're going to go first footing by telephone, and we'll probably take about 6 calls to our expatriate Scotsman. Have we got the first one ready? I'll say good morning to our first caller here in London. Good morning to you, sir. Ah, yes. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
You're through to both LBC and Radio Clyde. You want to go first footing, do you?
Yes, I want to.
Okay.
My brother in Paisley, just outside Glasgow, you know.
Yeah. Okay, go right ahead.
Just to wish them all a very happy new year up there, you know, up in Scotland. Everybody, you know.
Who is your brother, sir? Who is your brother? I don't think he can hear.
Yeah, who is your brother, sir?
William McDade.
I see.
Where does he live?
In Foxbath, Paisley.
Yeah, I should explain to you, Tony, that because of the peculiarities of our phone system, I'll have to pass on the questions for you. You see.
Right.
Okay. Any other information you want to pass on to Paisley?
No, just everybody, all my relations and mates, know that in Paisley.
Are you enjoying yourself here in London?
Oh,
are you?
Oh, aye, very much.
You've got a re-dram there.
All right.
That's the main thing to have. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Let's go on to the next caller here at LBC for
yes.
Radio Clyde.
Why not?
Indeed, Tony, yeah, why not? Nice to hear your dulcet tones down the phone, by the way.
Nice to hear yours too, Dan.
On the marvellous talking wireless. Okay, let's have the next caller. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And you're through to Radio Clyde. You want to go first footing?
How are you, Adrian?
I'm not Adrian, I'm Dennis, but never mind.
Dennis, happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. I'm not so certain I should talk to you after a comment like that.
Yeah, well, I want to extend wishes and best Happy New Year to friends of mine in Narren. And they're Mr. and Mrs. Moon. And Happy New Year to all the staff in LBC. And I hope your radio station goes well during the year. Oh. It's been very good so far.
Okay, many thanks for your call. And also, can a couple of best wishes, of course, from all of us at LBC to our friends up at Radio Clyde. Let's go to the next caller. We're shunting them through because first footing is the thing everybody does, at least all Scotsmen.
Well, they've all got a bit of coal with them.
I've got my piece of coal on...
Hello?
Hello, my love. Good morning.
Hello. Can I wish Happy New Year to all the classmates Sterling High School 20 years ago, Maria Coulter, and to my parents at Valtersound Manse and the Shetlands.
Up in the Shetlands?
Yes, they're up in the Shetlands.
Don't think we quite reached there, Dennis.
My father's a minister in the Shetland Isles.
Well, there we are. I don't think Clyde quite reaches Shetland.
You never know, though.
Yeah. Tony, just what is your reception area up there?
Well, so
far... I don't know exactly, but I think... Sterling reaches Glasgow, Clyde, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Actually, our reception area up here, if you're interested, Dennis, includes one or two wee towns like Sweden and Hull and Aberdeen and Ireland. And that's about as far as we've gone.
I think you qualify for one of our LBC QSL cards. I'll put one in the post for you tomorrow,
Tony. You qualify for one of ours, yeah.
We have another call. It's 21 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Let's go to that call. Good morning to you. Hello, sweetheart.
Hello.
Oh, sir, sorry. Sorry.
Dennis.
Really must discover the difference, you know. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
You're going first footing.
Yes, I'd like to go first footing to Gourock in Renfrewshire.
Right.
Easy.
I'd like to wish my friends Joe and Gene Mackay off Trumpet Hill all the best for 1974. It's Angus Shaw and Esther speaking from Epsom.
There you go.
And we've run out of whiskey down here, so I hope you've got a big pipeline all the way down over the Grand.
We've got half a bottle left here in London. I don't know how Tony's doing up there, Tony.
We're not letting any of it get down there, I tell you.
I do hope you've got a re-dram up there, Tony. Thank you.
Tell them to send a drop more whiskey down in the pipeline, will you?
Well, if any expatriate Scotsman's got any bottles left over, send it up to Gough Square.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Incidentally, I also better say thanks to the guys around at the White Horse in Fetter Lane for sending that bottle of whiskey on Christmas. If they're listening,
oh,
it went down extremely well.
There you go again, Dennis. Radio Clyde, 261, all together, Stoughton. Let's have another call.
Yeah, let's have another call before we go. Good morning.
Morning. Hello.
Yeah?
I'd like to wish my family a happy New Year. My family and my brother and his wife and his family at Codder, Glasgow, near the hill.
Lovely, lovely. And what are you doing down in London?
I've lived here quite some years.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Thanks very much for calling us. Before we go on to the next call, Tony Fox has just walked in, because, Tony, you did an assignment for us up there in Glasgow.
That's right. That's right, I did, Dennis. In fact, I went up to Edinburgh Castle, into the depths of Edinburgh Castle, to learn how to play the bagpipes. And I found out what a difficult thing it really was.
Yeah, I just found it out myself.
can you remember that report? Hey, funny noises coming over the air.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that if anybody's on the move tonight, we've got a message from them from down here in Clyde.
And get it all together with Radio Clyde.
Wherever you are, wherever you're motoring, be it in Glasgow, be it in Stirling, or be it in London, a very happy new year to you, and drive carefully. And I can hear you rewinding tapes there, Dennis.
I'll tell you this, Tony. I'm going to have a copy made of the log tape of your opening. So, when you're next down in London, I shall play it to you at a certain place. Let's go to the next call. Good morning to you. Your first footing to Radio Clyde. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can
you talk a bit louder? Because.
Come on, brother. My message in a very, very special way for me.
Oh, no. Tony, what can you do? Hey. Yes, good heavens, you get some funny people on the air, don't hey, you? Hey, tell me, just why did you send that record down the line to us?
Well, I thought it'd be a good idea. It's very special commissioned. It's particularly because I have in the back of my mind the feeling that there might be a new royal wedding this year, and the royalty are essentially Scottish people, and at the beginning, near the end of the royal wedding this year, there was played the Radetzky March by Johann Strauss, and that is a new version of it.
Fair enough.
Thank you very much.
And you're plugging your record over at LBC and Radio Clyde, aren't you? Thank you very much indeed. And all I can say to that is something like... Incidentally, Dennis, did you know that Stoughton, which is what our little jingle says, means right on, brother?
Does it really?
It does.
It's Gaelic, is it?
It does, yes, indeed. I think we'd better take our leave of you there, Dennis.
Before you go, I know you're going to have to play a commercial, you naughty man, you. But can you just hold a commercial, because I've got my friends
record,
here at a record. Well, hold that record, because the members of the Drum and Ocean Pipe Band are going to play us out from here. And, Tony, can I thank you most sincerely for joining us here in London?
Our thanks for coming up north, even if it's only by voice, Dennis. And, listen, pal, I'll see you very, very soon, I
Yeah,
hope.
Before we go, I know, in fact, that we've got a quick message for you. It's all yours.
Happy New Year to you, son.
Happy New Year to you.
And, Tony, we'll meet again, perhaps, in London, at Hammersmith, perhaps, next year?
Very probably.
Okay.
Thanks, Dennis.
Let's just play out with our friends from the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band, Tony. And you'll take our leave of us as we play this particular tune. Okay, gentlemen? We'll be right back.
Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. We'll be taking a bit more from you a little later on here at LBC. But in the meantime, all of you good people at Radio Clyde from LBC, a very happy and a very prosperous new year from all of us here in London, lots of expatriate Scots. And I've been given a list, a note here from Tony Fox. Even though SF and TF, whatever that might mean,
Stuart been... Francis and Tony Fox, you fool.
Oh, ha-ha, have a piece of coal. Have been off the air for nearly an hour. They're still up here trying to sober up, you swine. They say they're believers in driving safely. Listeners, take heed. Well, there you go. Tony, it was a great show you did tonight.
That was. It was hard work. Believe it or not, that really was hard work.
It was a lousy producer you had as well.
Dennis, for the listeners who might have just tuned in, Dennis was studio producing our show this evening between 11 and 1. Very talented, very versatile man. And like I said during the
very
show...
Very kind of you to say that, friends. You know.
Do remember that 10% of all road accidents are caused by people who drink.
Yeah, that's true.
Which must mean that 90% are caused by people who don't.
Well, I reckon I've got till 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
So why can't that 90% stay off the road and give people like me a chance?
Yes, if you know, all pedestrians, you know, be very careful tonight, pedestrians. Be very careful because there's a lot of cars around and they don't really know where they're going. But just a quick word from the weather forecast again. I'm sure I don't believe this. 36 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 degrees centigrade. I don't believe it at all. They say the weather's clear. It's 87% is the humidity. The barometric pressure is 30.39 inches. Tendency to keep on falling. Wind speed 3 miles an hour from easterly, and it's clear. I don't believe a word of that. I really don't. Actually, a lot of the LBC crew are tonight are across at a party. Angela Storer's pad. She's a very nice girl. Very nice girl. And she's swinging a party. And they say they want to say hello to all you good people. So we'll try and link a call into them a little later on.
Dennis, but tell me, what have you got in store for us for the rest of the night?
I haven't got the foggiest idea. Okay. I know I've got the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band later on, but I haven't got the foggiest idea what we've got coming up. Lots of phone-ins, of course. And,
can I ask an obvious question here?
Yes,
certainly.
We've got four Scotsmen in here, all wearing various tartans.
Yes.
Can you quickly reveal to us, live on radio, what's underneath those kilts?
Right. Have a quick
right.
flash,
gentlemen. A quick flash,
what's gentlemen.
Oh, yes. It's true. It's true.
One gentleman over there is wearing, dare I say it, St. Michael brand.
St. Michael's wife runs all round.
Okay, 11 minutes towards the hour of 2 o'clock here at LBC. 417 metres in the medium wave band and 97.3 VHF, or if you've got a crummy Japanese set, that's 719 kilohertz. And what are you doing pulling our headphones all over the place, Fox?
I'm off. See you tomorrow.
Good night, dear boy. I tell you what, we haven't got a call lined up at all, so let's... Look, this is what we call filling in time. I've got a fuggest over to do next. Gentlemen, can I prevail upon you?
Yes,
what should be the terminology? Should I ask you to do another number, a tune, or should I ask you to...
Well, I have an individual one, Crossing the Minch by Piper Thomas McBride.
Incredible.
Crossing the Minch.
You don't know it, do you? No. And you're the one that composed it.
Crossing the Minch.
Hurry, lad, we'll tighten up your spurns and hurry you go. Right,
Crossing the Minch.
Crossing the Minch, yeah.
I'll eat you in my face.
I don't know.
Because the thing about bagpipes, you know, you have to pump these things up. You can't just say cue bagpipes. You've got to pump the things up. Is it pumped up? It's pumped up. Right.
Thank you.
Yes, marvellous, marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. The sound of the Drum and Illusion Pipe Band. Incidentally, can I say a particular hello to Mr. Gardner Sr., who apparently is in bed, suffers from... he's paralysed, I believe. Yeah. Mr. Gardner, I believe you're listening to us, so from all of us here at LBC, the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band and all the people here, a very happy New Year to you. Let's hope that it brings... let's hope it'll be a contented one. Yeah, to all its Scotsmen in London. Absolutely marvellous. You know, gentlemen, I look at the clock and it's about, what, 8 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock in the morning when we have news. Do you reckon you're going to do another one? I don't think we haven't got any calls from expatriate Scotsmen. No. No calls from expatriate Scotsmen. Stevie Dixon will be in the studio after 2 o'clock talking about records. He promises me 2 tapes. Listen, we're going to...
My home.
This, by the way...
Please, slow match.
That's an actual discussion just between two Scottish pipers who don't know what to play.
My home.
Yeah. There we are. An actual discussion between two Scottish pipers who don't know what they're playing. Hey, I want to say, before you start, Tom, before you start, that was a Bom Norte you played earlier on. Major Thomas McBride from Ayr, James Davison from Sunderland, and John Roberts from London, and they're members of the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band. We have 2 calls. Let's, gentlemen, thousands of calls, but we've got 2. I've been told, what was it? I'm a Burke. Thank you very much, Dine. I'm not allowed to say Burke on here because it's rude. Sorry, Dine. Besides, which I think you're chewing my chicken at the moment, aren't you? Yes. No, actually, because Mixed Calf's closed, the management of this station, in the gesture of a New Year goodwill, have provided us with nosh, you say. And I found a box out there, which I said, hands off, this is Dennis's, and I noticed Di's opened it already. Well, you can't win them all, can you? Let's feed in the first call. Gentlemen, stand by, because we're probably going to the news with you and the pipes. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, hello there.
Yeah, hello, Dennis.
Yeah.
I've got your name right, anyway. listen, I listen to this programme every night.
More fool you.
yeah, exactly. Anyway, Happy New Year.
And so
I know
to
you haven't got much time. Believe it or not, my name's Bob Hope.
We've all got our problems.
yeah. I've got some family listening in London. I'm an exile from London, living in Crawley. I just want to wish you a Happy New Year to you and all the people at LBC.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And I hope the next year goes as well for you as last year has.
Well, it's been a marvellous 3 months up
it
here.
It has, yeah.
We'll
who's the character who's usually on this nightline?
It's me.
It's not, is it?
I'm afraid so.
Anyway, I sit and listen to you every night. I think you do a great job.
Yeah. Well, actually, I should actually give a mention to Adrian, who I saw him about 8:30 tonight when I rolled into the studio. And he and his good lady wife, what else could she be, was going off to some London club. We've got 3 parties to go on to, and I don't know where Adrian is at the moment, whether he's even listening to us. Wouldn't think so if he's 3 parts stoned. If you're listening, Adrian, come back to the studio. All is forgiven, and it was the dog. It wasn't you. Thank you very much for calling us. It's nice to have you from Crawley. And let's hope... Are you having a party down there?
I'm on my own at the moment. The family's gone to bed.
Good Lord, that's terrible on New Year's Eve. What can you do when the television goes off? Thank you very much for calling us.
Okay, cheers.
Let's squeeze in, have a quick call in before the 2 o'clock news. Good morning. Hello, love.
It's Carol King.
Hello, Carol.
Hi. I must admit, I usually do on work nights, but when I do listen, I've been used to listen to Capital. I know it's a terrible word to use. But,
we're good friends with them on New Year's Eve.
Well, I phoned them yesterday and wished my parents a Happy New Year, only to phone my parents and find out they were listening to your company.
That's what we like to hear.
Well, anyway, I've had to switch now, obviously, you know. So I just hope they're listening now, and I would love to wish them a very Happy New Year.
Right.
And you as well. You know, so
thank you very much.
I've only ever listened to this station twice.
Were you with me, Carol, I'd give you a nice big kiss, but over the radio...
I'm sitting in my bedroom all by myself.
I was going to say I wish I was there, but no. Don't say things like that, Dennis. No, don't say things like that. No.
My mother gave me the name as Adrian Love or something.
Adrian, of course, does the show Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays. Gets more fan mail than I do.
I'm not good, I wouldn't really know. I was speaking to someone on Capital called Paddy, and he was so sweet, you know.
Ah, well, there you go.
Very nice.
Carol, many thanks for calling us.
Best and a very happy new year.
Okay, sweet.
For all of you, anyway.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye to you. Yeah, let's hope New Year's going to be, 1974 is going to be a good year for LBC. I want my contract renewed. Sorry, lads. Okay, look, we're coming up to the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock news bulletin. A quick burst of the old bagpipes to take us up for the next... Okay, what's it going to be? Okay, Skyboat song.
Right. 1, 2...
Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's news time here at LBC, so let's go straight across to the newsroom where that Australian gentleman, Ken Guy, is all ready to give you the news.
This is the London Broadcasting Company, LBC, the independent voice of radio news.
It's 2 o'clock and this is Ken Guy with LBC News. Libya has raised the posted price for crude oil to more than $18 a barrel from today. That's the highest price ever known on world markets. The announcement was made over Tripoli radio only hours after Nigeria said it was raising its price from $8 to more than $14. And in Latin America, Bolivia tonight raised its oil export price to $16 a barrel, making its oil the costliest in Latin America. The increases are the latest in a series of increases announced by producer nations in the past week. The Israeli election. Mrs. Golda Meir's ruling Labour Party so far appears to be maintaining its lead, but has sustained losses estimated by political experts at about 5%. With less than one-tenth of the ballots counted, Labour looks likely to have some 50 seats in the new Parliament, compared with 56 in the old. Labour's chief opposition, the right-wing Likud coalition, showed initial gains and will probably end up with 37 or 38 seats, compared with 32 in the last Parliament. In his televised New Year message, the Soviet Communist Party Secretary, Mr. Brezhnev, has been talking about the success of 1973 for Russia. Referring to a crop of setbacks in 1972, he said the beginning of the year hadn't been easy, but industrial production targets had been exceeded. He said international détente had improved and specifically mentioned agreements with the United States, but he warned that aggressive forces, which he didn't specifically identify, were trying to sabotage détente. He added, it goes without saying that we'll have to take care to strengthen our country's defences. In Belfast, police have released the name of the soldier who was shot and killed yesterday afternoon. He was Guardsman 23-year-old Alan Doherty of the 2nd Battalion Scots Guards. He was the 250th person to be killed in Northern Ireland last year. In Washington, the special Watergate prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, said federal grand juries may hand down what he calls a substantial number of major indictments in January and February. In a year-end report, Mr. Jaworski said investigations are continuing in various areas, but evidence has progressed to the point that grand juries will be prepared to consider the matter of returning indictments early in the new year. He did not elaborate further, but pointed out that 12 people had already pleaded guilty as a result of investigations his task force had conducted already. The president of Marks & Spencer, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress, but he's still in the intensive care unit of the Middlesex Hospital. Earlier, the hospital had said he'd made better progress than expected. Meanwhile, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for the shooting of Mr. Seif. It's feared the shooting could be the start of a series of attacks on prominent Jews in Britain. The founder of the Tesco store chain, Sir Jack Cohen, said yesterday he'd been warned of the existence of a death list. French yachtsman Eric Tabali has been an early lead in the Cape Town to Sydney leg of the 27,000-mile Whitbread round-the-world race. Competitors are heading toward Rio de Janeiro with Tabali in his Penduic the 6th yacht, hotly pursued by our own Royal Navy entry, Adventure, in second place. The Frenchman is tipped to win this leg of the marathon race. Britain's third commercial radio station, Radio Clyde, went on the air at 10:30 last night. Broadcasting from the new station started with a jingle, followed by a prayer by the Reverend Andrew Heron, the former moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. Efforts to break the deadlock on setting up the Common Markets Regional Fund begin in London on Thursday. Britain's Foreign Secretary, Sir Alec Douglas-Hume, holds talks with his West German counterpart, Herr Hans Eppel. The two countries are diametrically opposed in their viewpoint on the size of the fund. Britain, one of the main benefactors of the fund, has called for a substantial £1,500 million kitty to help develop poorer regions of the EEC countries. West Germany, on the other hand, disagrees with the size and has failed to reach a compromise in recent talks at Brussels. The London talks later this week are a final threshing out stage before the Community's Council of Ministers meet on the 7th of January. And that's the news. Our next bulletin of London news at 2:30, international and national news again at 3 o'clock.
And thank you very much, Ken Guy, over there in the newsroom. On the other side of the corridor, must be hell for an Australian in London at New Year. I mean, he doesn't know what it's all about. Anyway, 5 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock at LBC. Give you a frequency check. You've heard every other person's frequency tonight. This is London Broadcasting, 417 metres medium wave, 719 kilohertz, and on VHF 97.3. Make of that what you will. Make of Stevie Dixon what you will. Stevie, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's very nice of you to come in.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I notice you've got your striped what's it on tonight.
I have Mickey Mouse. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's for Pluto past.
And all that.
You came in and you said you're going to talk about the paper shortage, the plastic shortage and the Beatles. Now, come on, Steve.
Plus more than that.
Plus more than that.
Right, shall we start on the depressing? I'm not a prophet of doom, but I must say that 1974 is going to be a very bad time for the music industry.
You mean no new Sergio Mendes LPs coming out?
Who?
By God.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sergio.
You know,
I know him well.
Well, you know, I know I have a love of Sergio Mendes, but when certain people in the programme department earlier on said, every time we're here night long, we're here Sergio Mendes. Who are you? How much have you been paid? I've not been paid a thing. I just happen to like good music. But we've got actually...
That's
but,
good.
We've got Herb Alpert tonight as well, as well as Sergio Mendes.
Far out, man.
Well, I like the way you say that, you know.
Far out.
It's just hip talk. Yeah.
Right. I haven't got anything like Sergio Mendes, but I got some very nice stuff.
Get out of the studio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good night, London. As we were, as they said in the army. Right, there is some depressing things happening. The vinyl shortage. And vinyl, if you didn't know, comes from oil. And it is also shared by the plumbing industry to make pipes. That go or something like that.
The
anyway,
plant pollock.
Yeah.
The plastic plant
pollock. Pollock, Jason, where? Where? Get him out.
Now, Jason no. Pollock is one of our gentlemen who acts as a producer. If you were listening to us over Christmas, you actually heard his dulcet tones over the air. No, I was going to say, a plastic plant pots will be in short demand because that's what you do with old records.
Right, yeah. Mm. And also, the fact
that went down flat, didn't it, really?
It did.
Mentioning.
Was that a joke?
Yes, don't worry about it, you know.
Nobody's laughing. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, someone's laughing.
That's a slight view from heaven.
Right, as we were saying, the fact is that vinyl is used for plumbing and records. But the trouble is with records, it has to be refined first and made very, very nice indeed. There's no extra charge to that to the music industry. So, unfortunately, because of the shortage of oil, they're not going to refine any plastic, and they're selling most of it to the plumbing industry, which means there's going to be a shortage of plastic, which is very depressing. Also, paper. For some reason or other, there's a shortage of paper in the world, which means that album covers are going to suffer. And if you've recently bought a copy of Mott the Hoople's album, you won't have the very fancy vinyl bit that fits into the sleeve that looks very nice indeed, which is very sad, because I sometimes go for albums because of the presentation. I know it's very wrong, but
you mean if it's got a sexy bird on the cover, you'll go and buy it?
Absolutely. Roxy Music, may I say.
Mm. Yeah.
You're not familiar with Roxy, are you?
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that fact. Yes, well. I do love Roxy Music. Yes. I'm not that pedestrian.
Well, the fact is, they always have a lovely lady on their covers, which makes the album.
There was a beautiful Herb Alpert LP a couple of years ago, which had a girl covered in whipped cream, and I thought it was sexy as hell. You know, we won't go into that, but...
I don't think we ought to.
No.
Whipped cream and ladies, I don't think it's the thing to go into at this time of night. As we were saying...
Some fetish that we all have here. Yeah.
Somebody said the Beatles.
Nobody sent me a copy of the Pirelli calendar, which has got nothing whatsoever to do
with
this conversation.
Can we mention that?
Yes. Send me a copy. I am very sure I haven't had one calendar sent to me, and I think I ought to have at least a sexy calendar sent to me, because I want to say all I got. I brought four new tyres for the car on Saturday, you see.
Pirelli?
Well, no, they weren't funny.
Can we talk about this sort of thing?
Well, I think might as well, you know.
Why not?
They're not advertising as yet. They ought to be. No, actually, the thing was, you see, I decided to buy the car a Christmas prezi. It was a one-way trip to the Knacker's yard of four new tyres.
Oh, dear. I've heard about your car.
You could see it outside.
I've seen it outside.
It's leaning up against the meeting. You know, it's so bad that it's one of its core plugs, very technical, that blew a little while ago. And I've now discovered, if I'm driving into London, and I discover that when I put my foot down in the accelerator, things look a bit hard and the petrol mix is not right, pull into the side and have a fag for 10 minutes, and that'll be okay after that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
So I was sitting for 10 minutes outside Stratford at a bus stop, you know, for 10 nights, letting the engine cool down.
A sort of a suck-squeeze-bang-blow love relationship.
Oh, I hate that car, but I wouldn't part with it for the world.
It might part from you. Let's not be depressing, as we were saying. We were talking about pop music, weren't we? Beatles.
Yeah. Mm.
There's a nice word for you.
Yeah, it's a Cooper record as well.
Absolutely. I haven't bought a Beatle record in. I wish I had now. It's too late. Anyway, the fact is that it's not physically possible for the Beatles to get together at the moment because of certain drug charges that happened to happen in the past. But John Lennon and Paul McCartney, who weren't the best of friends a few years ago, are now. They are good friends, and it is very possible that in 1974 the Beatles might record together again.
This was a prediction which was mentioned, I think, on television tonight by Frederick Davis.
Ah.
And he said it could well be that the Beatles would get together.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how you feel, Stevie, but I felt that when the Beatles were together, the albums were, you know, the LPs they released, were an event. You know, you even had people buying the LPs to copy, and within 2 weeks there was a cover version of it.
Absolutely.
Do you feel that British music is dead because we haven't got a great group like the Beatles?
Well,
innovators, if you like.
To be perfectly honest, I don't feel that British music is dead, because we've got some very, very super musicians in England at the moment.
I'll mention Steel Eye Span, which is
Steel Eye Span. There's one.
Galatea. I mean, I feel that was released what, last year, re-released this year, and actually got into the top 10.
Yeah.
If only because I'm into folk, but it's nice that a great record like that. And the amazing thing, of course, is that it's plain song.
Mm.
It's 14th century.
Absolutely.
And it is absolutely gorgeous. Yeah,
it is a lovely song.
We're not going to play it, unfortunately.
No.
Because it's upstairs in the cupboard and I forgot to bring it down.
I was very sad to see them on Top of the Pops.
Yeah, I think it degrades music to a certain extent.
I agree.
Do you know, Top of the Pops is, it's a showcase for glamour stars.
Yeah, right.
But, I was discussing this the other night at a certain other place. Not unrelated to radio. No, I'm not gonna give it a plug. Yes, I will. Hospital Radio. We were discussing this on the air the other night.
Radio 5.
Radio 5. Paddington. Don't tell me you were connected with that as well.
I wish I were.
Ah.
I wish I were.
Yeah. all the other 20 hospital radio stations in London, if you're listening tonight. Incidentally, I've got a plug to give a little later on for Harlow Hospital Radio, for stay tuned for that. But we were discussing this whole point about music, and it seemed to us that British music has taken a plunge. We're into the American sound at the moment.
Now, I must say that the very sad thing is that people judge music by what they hear on Auntie and on Top of the Pops and by what their sons and daughters play them. Now, okay, I'm 24. I love music very much. I have done all my life, and I hope I will continue to do so for a long time to come. But what you hear on the radio and what you hear and see on TV is not representative of music, generally speaking.
Mm.
Unfortunately, you hear a lot of rubbish on the radio. Can I say that? I'm a disc jockey. Why not? You do hear a lot of rubbish on the radio. And that is what people buy. People buy what is given airtime.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of lovely things which are brought out. For instance, Rabbit.
Mm.
Now, this is one of the things I have this evening. Now, Rabbit is a lovely session musician who's played with bands like Free, Johnny Nash, Donovan, who made one of the best albums of 1973. And I'd like you to hear something, which is from his forthcoming album, which has never been heard before.
Well, there you go, the sound of a rabbit, and I've just noticed a beautiful young lady walked in the into the control room. Who is she? Who is she?
That is my lady.
Could we ask your lady to come into the studio one moment? Come Annie, into the studio, sweetheart. Come into the studio. You're not going to talk, but you're going to do something else. Come right in the studio.
She will.
By God, I'm woman
I'm
mad tonight.
I'm so proud of that lady.
Mm-hmm.
I really am.
Yeah.
She's lovely.
Yeah.
My
come
lady.
Right in. Oh, and the name is Anne. Anne, come right to me. Come on.
What is happening?
What a
LBC.
Gorgeous, divine
ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you what is going on here. No, I'm very proud of my lady. She's given me a lot of happiness.
Yeah.
God, I must be drunk. Yeah. I mean. Rabbit,
Anne,
that was.
Anne, what are you seeing this fella, you know? You know I'm far more handsome than... No. Going to that.
I thought this was about rock and roll. I really did.
Yeah, I really must give this plug because I had a phone call from Mike Alexander of Harlow Hospital Radio. And he said, give us a plug. So I said, all right, it's 8 till 1 a.m. this Friday. It's a dance. It takes place at the Princess Alexandra Hospital Social Centre in Harlow. And it's in aid of funds for Harlow Hospital Radio. And the ticket cost is 50p and you can have it at the door. So there you go. If you've got nothing to do on Friday night, you live in the Harlow area, you want a bit of a rave up, then go along to the Princess Alexandra Hospital Social Centre and raise money for Harlow Hospital Radio. They actually had a mammoth DJ session which raised £200, which I think is a very good idea.
Very good.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, let's go on to another subject.
Rabbit, that was.
Keep rabbiting, you fool.
Yeah. I'm going to keep rabbiting. Oh, dear. A killer. Three-piece bands. You're not familiar with three-piece bands, are you?
You say that as if I don't know what the... No.
What?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what a three-piece band is.
You remember
is.
Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah.
There was a three-piece band that everyone in the world will be proud of evermore. God rest him, and I mean that sincerely, because he was the best. He really was. Mm. Since then, we got Beck, Bogart, and Appice, who have a very fine band. But for me, they don't spark off any magic. And if Master Control is ready, we are about to play something called Speak of the Devil by Stray Dog.
Nice.
The written limousine really makes it on the scene. Keeps the image very clean, and I need it. Driving like a star, getting drunk in every bar. People say I'm going far, I believe it. Built the ladies at my feet, and it seems so indiscreet. I think I'll leave it.
Stand back, look out, we got the devil.
There's a number you can dial to get service with a smile, and they're oh so versatile, makes me happy. Satisfaction guaranteed, but make it snappy. Driving like a star, getting drunk in every bar. People say I'm going far, I believe it.
Call there, and I believe we have. We take long distance calls on H. I nearly gave me hospital radio call sign. I will HWR channels BN2. Nobody's listening down there, but I'll give it anyway. LBC 417 meters medium wave 97.3 VHF. We have a long distance call. Derek Beeston in, would you believe, Tunisia. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning to you.
You're actually calling from Tunisia. How about that? I was pre-warned that you might call tonight because you're on holiday over there.
Well, actually, I'm working here.
What are you doing?
Well, I work for Thompson Holidays here in Tunisia and Algeria.
Tunisia.
Yeah, plug, plug.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's it like over in Tunisia at the moment?
Well, it's been very nice for the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's
come
been
on,
very good weather.
Yeah, what's the weather like? What's the temperatures like?
Oh, it's up in the 70s during
Gee,
the day.
Crikey. Shall I tell you what it is in London? Just
oh,
to make your friends happy. 36 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
It's about 2 degrees centigrade.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's happening over New Year's Eve over in Tunisia?
Well, it's pretty much like at home. We've got very good dances and dinners and everything on for all the holidaymakers here.
Yeah.
Everybody's been celebrating.
Mm.
Everybody's been having a lot to drink and lots of nice things to eat and dancing away.
Yeah.
The only difference, of course, is here that we celebrate the New Year an hour earlier than you do because we're an hour in France. In fact, the time here now is 25 past three almost.
How about that, then?
So, in fact, a lot of people now are sort of sliding off to bed already.
Yeah. I believe you want to wish your family a Happy New Year because we've got somebody else over there who wants to talk to us.
Well, I can't, unfortunately, because I'm from up in Yorkshire, but I've got a young lady here who also works for Thompson in Susan. She'd like to say hello because she's from the London area.
Okay, let's have a chat to her.
Okay, I'll pass you over now.
Fine. Wait for Tunisia. Hello, my sweet.
How are you?
And welcome to London. We're fine. And how are you out there?
I'm fine, thanks.
And you've got friends in London, I understand.
Yes, I have.
Right, the airways are all yours. Do you want to wish them a very happy new year?
Yes, I would, yes.
And where do they live?
Finsbury.
Finsbury Park?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what are the names?
Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
And Maureen.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum and dad. Mm-hmm. And all of the family.
We didn't get your name, as a matter of fact.
My name's Anne.
Anne, and the surname is?
Berry.
Anne Berry.
Yeah.
How does it feel working in Tunisia in that marvellous heat? 70 degrees.
Yeah, it's fantastic, you
it's
know.
It's incredible.
Christmas Day, I was in a bikini rather than a camel.
That's a sight I'd love to have seen. We were freezing cold over here.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
You're actually on a camel over there.
Yeah.
Ah, how about that? How are the tourists taking it over there?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
It's a different way of life over here.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Tunisia are you speaking from?
Fouf.
Where?
Fouf.
Whereabouts is that?
It's central Tunisia.
Mm.
The third largest town.
Yeah. Is it near? It's near the sea, obviously.
Sorry?
It's near the sea, obviously.
Oh yeah, it's right on the sea.
I know, in fact, it costs a lot of money to cut for a phone from Tunisia, so I won't hold you long, but for any tourists going out there, what can they do apart from lying on the sand, which is a lovely thought?
Well, there's plenty of nightlife over here.
Yeah?
And a million things to buy in the shops.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
What sort of things could the shopper go out and buy?
Well, leather goods and glassware.
Yeah.
And caftans.
I think you ought to bring one back for Di.
Ah.
I think she looked dead sexy in a caftan. Di's our studio producer.
I see.
Mm. She's wearing leather tonight. And it's lovely to hear you from Tunisia.
Great to hear from you as well.
Fine. You must call in and see us when you get back.
I will, yeah. Thanks very much. I'll pass you back to Derek.
Okay. Hello, Derek.
Hello.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, we'd just like to wish everybody on London Broadcasting a Happy New Year from Thompson Holidays.
Right, definitely. When is your current party returning home?
Well, we have departures tomorrow, the day after. We have departures about 5 days a week.
Yeah. Have you any name checks you want to push over the air from people over there?
Not for me, no. And in fact, there's practically nobody else left here now.
Ah.
Nobody's sober anyway.
Sounds like the studio, really does.
Yeah.
Well, have a lovely time. You work out there permanently, obviously.
Yes, I've been out here about a year or so now.
Well, permanently?
More or less, yeah.
Incredible. Derek, many thanks for calling us from Tunisia.
Thank you.
Have a very happy new year. Pass on our regards from all of us here in London at LBC to all of your friends out there.
Will do.
And our friends the tourists.
Yeah.
And have a jolly good time tomorrow. It's down to the beach for you tomorrow, is it?
Sorry?
It's down to the beach for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
How about that? I shall think of you as I drive home through a cold, wintry London at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Derek, thank you very much for calling us from Tunisia.
Yeah, thank you.
And have a very happy and a very prosperous new year.
Same to you. you.
And my regards to everybody over at Thompson Holidays there.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye to you.
Ciao, bye-bye.
Bye. There you go. Tunisia calling, LBC. I don't know if anybody else is on the continent. Tell you, if you're on the continent tonight, yeah, if you're on the continent, come on, give us a call. You know, the number here in London is 01-353-8111, but if you don't make any success, what we'll do for our special friends on the continent only and nobody else, give us a call on 353-0101 and ask for the control room and we'll try and get your message across. That's only for people on the continent. That's 353-0101. Sorry, 1010. Get it right, you fool. Start again. 353-1010. That's our office number. And ask for the control room. But only if you're in France or on the continent in Holland, Belgium, or even down in Spain if you're listening to us on our frequency. And also tell us how you're listening to us, if it's on medium wave or if it's on 97.3 stereo. And we'll send you one of our QSL cards. These are verifications of reception because we like to know just how far our signal's going, especially on this New Year's evening. And if you're up in Scotland, give us a call as well. But you shouldn't really be listening to us. You should be listening to Radio Clyde. There's a plug for our friends up there. Because Tony Carey's with you right there through the night. Tony Carey, a very good friend of mine. But thank you very much. If you can call us, please do. With me is Stevie Dixon. Stevie, we've got about 2 minutes up before the hour of 2:30. You're not leaving us just yet, I know.
No. I'm frightened.
Ah.
I want to play you something very special. Oh. And 2 minutes won't do it.
Oh, well, we'll keep chatting. Oh. We'll play it after dinner.
All right, let's keep chatting.
Yeah. Fill in. Keep talking, you fool.
I'd just like to say, if there are any rock and roll producers listening, that I have a good voice, and I'd really like to broadcast on your radio station as from this year. What else can I say? Hospital Radio. Tell me a little bit more about Hospital Radio.
Oh, no.
No, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I'd like to know about Hospital Radio, because I'm sure other people will be interested.
Mm-hmm.
I know... Oh, lovely. Thank you very much. I know that many people would be very interested to know how one would start broadcasting. And I also know that hospital radio is a good way to start.
Well, yes, hospital radio serves two functions. On the first way of hospital radio, of course, it's one of my favourite pet subjects, and I talk for hours about it, so I'll just talk for 1 minute flat until the news break. Hospital radio provides a very good service to the patients, Steve, in a sense that it is a talking newspaper of the air at its best. And, in fact, any idea that can relieve a patient's monotony of life in a hospital and bring him back into society, I think is very good. But for the aspiring broadcaster of the future, I think hospital radio is a very good way of cutting his teeth. For instance, here at LBC, we have 5 ex-hospital broadcasters, which I'm proud to say I'm one. Capital Air colleagues, I think, have 2, and Radio Clyde have 4, which Tony Carey used to broadcast for hospital radio in Radio Paisley. It's a good way of cutting your teeth, it's a good way of learning your trade, and at the same time you're doing a very valuable social service. But if you're involved in running a station, most of my time is spent literally begging around the locality in Havering for money to keep the station in the air. And perhaps I can say thank you very much to the Lions International Club for the £300 they gave us to buy a new mixer this year.
Oh, that's nice. But what I would like to know is, if you're in hospital, how can you not make people feel that they are away from society? If you make it obvious that they are away from society...
Can we answer that question after the news?
Yes.
Because we're coming up to news break. It's 2:30 in the morning here at LBC. Time to hear the latest news. And I do believe Ken Guy is lurking in the newsroom.